It is good to see you. I appreciate you being here. I am thankful for you. And I hope the things I have this morning and this evening will be good for you. I think they are. I think they were good for me. And so I hope that they will be good for you as well. The title of this lesson is Things Will Be All Right. And I want to say that because we're going to talk about fear. And I don't know if that title and that thought of fear go together very well, but I hope you'll see the connection when we're finished. We live in a time when fear is propagated all over the place. There is terror in many people's lives. But I don't believe that it should be that way necessarily in the lives of Christians. As you read through the Bible, it often refers to the idea of fear. And in fact, fear is a motivating force, isn't it? It absolutely is. There in Exodus 2, the reading this morning, we have a situation which individuals are making a very difficult choice. But the reason they're having difficulty and the reason they have some fear is because of what has happened back in chapter 1. And I would encourage you to turn back there and begin with me at verse 8 to notice what's taken place. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Things have changed. Time has elapsed to the point that individuals have forgotten about this Joseph that had saved the land of Egypt. And so we got a king that has arisen that doesn't remember or does not know about Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal with them wisely, or else they will multiply, and even and in the event of war, they will also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land." So he appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor, and they built for Pharaoh storage cities of Phithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted him, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. Notice the fear. And the Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously, and they made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and bricks, and at all kinds of labor in the field, all their labor which they rigorously imposed on them. And then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of them whom was named Sapphira, and the other was named Puah. And he said, "When you are helping the Hebrew women give birth, and you see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. And so the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and let the boys live?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives can get to them." And so God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. And then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the Nile, and every daughter you shall keep alive." And then we have the story in chapter 2 about Moses. Now, I want you to think with me for just a little bit about being there in the house of Moses' family. Can you hear the discussion between mom and dad? What do you think it went like? Because the time has come, they've made a choice to hide this child from being thrown into the river Nile to be drowned and destroyed. Kind of sounds like abortion, doesn't it? They made a choice to keep this child alive, but the time has come that they can't continue to hide the child. So what are we going to do? The conversation is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know. What do you think we should do? Can you see it? Can you picture it in your mind? Those kind of things going on. You know, every time I've been afraid of what to do, I just don't know what to do in that particular situation. You know, it's kind of like when the lights go out and you were a child in the midst of a storm, you're just a little bit terrified, you don't know what to do, and so you cry out, Mom! I remember losing my job when I was in Indianapolis. We hadn't been there but a couple of years. And so it was a bad deal to be in Indianapolis and not have a job. You know, those bills didn't stop coming, did they? Just because I lost the job. And so you don't know what to do. What do you do? Well, you go sign up for unemployment and you try to do this. And in fact, at the time, we had turned all of our life insurance policies into term policies, and we'd taken the money out of the ones that we'd had before, and we'd put that into investments, and we'd just done this a couple of months before losing this job, and the thing is you go on unemployment, you got to feed your kids, and unemployment not enough to feed your kids too. You're just going to have to scrape by, and so you go and you sign up for food stamps. A month later, you find out you've got money. You're reminded that you didn't put down that you have money in investments. And so we're going to prosecute you if you don't correct this or just leave. Drop it. So we say, okay, well, we'll just get by anyway. You see, you just don't know. You're scared. There's fear. What are you going to do? You see, fear is a major theme in this passage, isn't it? Look there at the midwives in chapter 1 and in verse 17. The midwives feared God, so they didn't kill the innocent, but kept them alive. In verse 21, the midwives feared God, and so he established households for them. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Notice also in verse 12, and they were in dread of the sons of Israel. Egyptians were afraid, weren't they, as well? But not in the same way. And then you see Moses' parents there in chapter 2. They apparently have come to the conclusion the thing to do is to put him in a basket and make sure that it'll float, put him on the Nile, and leave it to God. And that's exactly what they did. In Hebrews 11 and verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, not Moses' faith, his parents' faith. Make note of that. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They feared God, rather. But Pharaoh was afraid of the Israelites, wasn't he? In fact, you see this throughout the Bible. Notice Moses' warning to the children of Israel just before his death. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 3 and in verse 22, do not fear them, for the Lord your God is one fighting for you. Well, back up then to verse 21 where it says, and I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings, so that the Lord shall do to all the kingdoms into which you cross, are about to cross. Giving them confidence. Don't be afraid. Do not fear them. I am with you. Over and over again, these things take place. In fact, you go back to the beginning of the chapter and you find out that the two kings that are being talked about are the two kings on the east side of the Jordan River. The land which is going to be given to Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. In Deuteronomy 4 and in verse 10, Moses says, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me, and all the days of their life they live on the earth, and they may be teach their children. Do you remember how Israel reacted the first time when this happened? Do you remember how they reacted? They were terrified, were they not? And they said to Moses, you go speak to God, lest we die. And then come tell us what he has to say. You think about it in the book of Mark, or the Gospel of Mark. You think about that situation on the Sea of Galilee in the fourth chapter. When that storm arose and the disciples were terrified that they were going to be destroyed. The storm was so terrible that the ship they were in was going to be destroyed. And what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. And they come and roust him out of sleep and say, do you not realize that we're perishing? And what does Jesus do? Well, look at chapter 4 of Matthew. Mark. Chapter 4 of Mark. And we're going to begin at verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. So on that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boat were there. And other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. I don't want to be in a boat that gets filled with the ocean, do you? That's not a good situation. I can understand their fear, can't you? Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? How is it that you do not have faith? And they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? There's nothing to be afraid of. God is with you. And God got up and God stopped the storm. And everything's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Think about Paul's, in fact, think about the synagogue official in Mark the 5th chapter. He's terrified his daughter's going to die. He's coming to Jesus. He's heard about Jesus. He knows Jesus can do something. And so he's coming to Jesus to have his daughter sick, healed because she's near death. Look at chapter 5 and verse 35. It says, and he was still speaking. They came from the house. The synagogue official was saying, your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? Well, the terrible thing has happened. But Jesus hears this, and in verse 36, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer, only believe. Only believe. It's going to be all right. God is with you. And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion, the people loudly weeping and wailing, and entering in, he said to them, why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. And they began laughing at him, putting them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. And taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Tabitha, come, which translated means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave strict orders to them that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given to her to eat. Terrified. Your child's going to die. You have to put it in God's hands. God will take care of it. It will be okay. In fact, during this particular situation, back just a few verses, we have a woman who has spent her entire living for 12 years going to the physicians to heal a hemorrhage that she had that just couldn't be controlled. And she's thinking to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be well. She's afraid of making a commotion or of a scene. And so she's just going to, if I can just touch his garment, then I'll be okay. But God doesn't do that, does he? Jesus says, who touched me? There's a crowd around him, thronging him. And he says, who touched me? Well, Landa, I don't know. There's all of these people at sometimes the questions that Cheryl asked me. Yeah, I'm thinking, I haven't got it. In fact, she asked me one this morning. Do you know where my sunglasses are? I didn't wear them last, so I haven't got a clue. Maybe they're in the other car because you had them then. And she says, okay. Anyway, you understand what I mean. I'm not going to make a commotion. But God's not that way. Jesus says, who touched me? Wow. Yeah. And when she seen that she couldn't be kept secret, I did. He says, you've been healed. Your faith has made you whole. It's going to be okay because God is on our side. God is on our side. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, Paul admonishes the Philippians, then my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more now in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You gotta do what's right, no matter what. In fact, I think I had another note here, and I just trying to think of what it said. I don't see it now. Maybe it'll come up later. Just the very idea. You see, courage is not the absence of fear, but is doing what you know needs to be done in spite of the fear. We can serve God from fear, knowing what judgment may bring. But somewhere along the line, the fear is replaced with love for God. And we do what God says because we love Him. You see, faith doesn't mean that you have the answers. Doesn't mean that you have the fix. It doesn't mean that you have a plan to take care of whatever it may be that you are facing. You see, faith does have answers when we don't have the answers. And see, the answer is Jesus. In Acts 16 and verse 31, the Philippian jailer, and they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, you and your household." The answer is Jesus. When we have questions about the church, how we treat people, about marriage, about work and other things, Jesus has the answers. Jesus has the answers. If Moses' parents had only thought to make an ark sooner, would that have fixed everything? I'm just sure that would have fixed everything, right? No. The ark wasn't the answer, was it? You see, is there a right answer? What is the right answer? You see, that's the question. You see, do we just need a better plan? Do we need a better plan for church growth? Do we need a better plan for family harmony? Do we need a better plan for writing sermons? Maybe we do. Well, what if a fix is not the goal? What if the fix is not the goal? But faithfulness amidst the fear is. I was talking with a young man back a while ago, and he was struggling with some things, having some difficulties that he was trying to work through. He says, I've done everything I know to do. I've done everything I know to do. And the thing is when you've done all that you know to do, the right things to do, the only thing left to do is to leave it with God and let God work out the other things. That's what Moses' parents did. They did what they could. They hid him for 3 months, and it became to a point when they couldn't hide it any longer. And so we've got to do something different. So what do we do? Well, we're going to build a little boat for Moses. We're going to put him in it. We're going to put him on the Nile, and we'll just see what happens. We're going to leave it in God's hands. Wow, what do you know? He led the children of Israel out of Egypt, didn't he? What if the process is the point? You know, I like cooking meats. I like smoking meats. Oh, man. Baby back ribs are so good. 5-6 hours on the smoker and boom, they just fall off the bone. But you know they don't get that way. They don't have that glorious taste without barbecue sauce, without marinade. You got to put a marinade on, and you've got to let the marinade do its work. And then you put them on the fire, and you allow the fire to do its work. kind of like paying for patience. Somebody says, I need patience. And I say, well, pray for patience. And the thing is when you pay for patience, what's going to happen? Invariably, you're going to get difficulties. If you don't want difficulties, don't be praying for patience. My tongue's getting tied around my eye teeth. Because patience doesn't come just like that, does it? Patience comes, we all know the story of Job, right? Patience doesn't come all of a sudden. Lord, give me patience. Now I'm the most patient person in the world. No, it doesn't work like that. Patience comes by testing and trying. It takes time, doesn't it? Just like the marinade, it takes time. What if the problem is not the fix? What if the problem is not fixed? What if it's not fixed? If finding a hiding place for Moses wasn't the point, then what was the point? Well, one of the points that I see is not throwing him into the river was a part of the point, wasn't it? Not turning their backs on the Lord is another point that I see in all of those things. You see, the answer to our fears are found in Jesus Christ. It simply will be okay if we learn to trust Him. If we put our trust in Jesus, if we put our trust in God, it's going to be okay no matter what the outcome is. In fact, this year, 2021, I have known at least 5 preachers who have left this world for their reward in heaven. Some of them I was very close to. Some of them died from COVID. Some of them died from cancer and other things. But the truth is, it doesn't really matter, does it? No. What does matter is that as I know them, they kept their trust in God. And the outcome is now better than it was before. Now, are there some left behind grieving and sorrowing? Certainly. But I believe and I understand that all of those who may be left behind, their grieving one day will be turned into joy. But it'll only turn into joy if they continue to trust Jesus. It'll be okay no matter what happens in this life, in your life, in my life. It will be okay if I trust Jesus because God is on my side. No one. No thing can stop me. If you need to change your life, if you need to be transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we would encourage you this very morning to do that thing, to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Maybe you've already done that, but you realize that I'm just not what I should be. Maybe you want us to pray for you. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you just need to correct your life in some way. We'll be happy to help you to correct it by following what God has said, what has been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, in the Bible. Whatever you may need, if you need something this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?